One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. And every week we talk about how to love yourself, others, and higher nature, how to improve your relationships, your finances, health. And this week's topic, I think, is going to be very interesting for a lot of people because we're getting into now the end of the year. The year 2020 is coming up soon. And many people are thinking about New Year's resolutions, how to change your life, improve themselves in many ways. So today's topic is you can move mountains, overcoming barriers and achieving your dreams. Now, many times we have what are called failures in life, setbacks, obstacles. Things don't work out the way we want, whether it's on our marriage, our relationship, our finances, our career. And research shows that it's not really the so-called failure that affects us. It's how we react to it. In fact, our performance can be just as good for the next time we do something, whether it's a sporting event or a job performance. The difference is how we interpret it emotionally, because we're going to feel maybe emotionally negative for a period of time, maybe a little sad or depressed or frustrated. But the key is how we move on from there. According to psychology, there's something called the control theory, which says that our mind is like a thermostat. When we have an unfortunate circumstance, a setback, maybe we lose our job, maybe we lose a relationship, we're going to suffer from some hot emotion. Maybe it's anger, regret, or disappointment. But then we can cool ourselves down, you know, with logic. We can see what happened here in this relationship or this situation. How do we improve it? What do we learn from this? The other thing we realize in the terms of failure or what we call scarcity or limitation is that actually it can be good at times. Many times it can be a positive force for creativity. Many great inventors and creators have come from failures. Thomas Edison tried 10,000 different ways to discover the light bulb until he eventually found the right combination. Muhammad Yunus in the country of Bangladesh saw very poor women who were craftspersons, but they didn't have enough money to fulfill their business, so he got the idea of microlending, lending small amounts of money to these rural women and helped their business, and they paid back their loans as well. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his venture with microlending. So it is true that many times setbacks and problems can spur us on to great accomplishments. Now, there's a certain kind of person that we call the resilient person that can bounce back from problems, setbacks, and mistakes. And this is a very interesting personality type. And many of us can develop resilience, the ability to bounce back quickly from despair and defeat, rejection. The first characteristic that people who are resilient have is that they're aware of their emotions. When they suffer a setback, they say they lost their job, maybe they went bankrupt, maybe they have a health problem, or someone rejected them, a family member doesn't treat them the way they should be treated. They realize that they're feeling a certain way, maybe a sadness, despair, disappointment, but they can separate their inner value from that feeling. They realize, I may be a person who just experienced a so-called failure or setback, but I am not a failure as a human being. I may be feeling sadness temporarily in my mind, but I am not a sad person. And that's a very powerful concept to grasp, is that you can be separated from the emotion at the moment that you experience the emotion, if it's a negative feeling, because your inner value is a higher source. It's a spiritual, psychological strength that you have as a human being, given the life on earth and the ability to do things to help people. The other thing that resilient people have is right association. They associate with other people who are also resilient, who are positive, who give them space to grieve. When you have a loss in your life, a rejection, a setback, you need a little time to grieve that. And these good friends can help you do that. At the same time, they're able to listen with non-judgmentally. This is one of the most important things. Some people are judgmental and they try to give you some kind of help disguised as criticism. But people that are good friends, that are what we call right association friends, are able to be empathetic. They can put themselves in your shoes. They can listen to you without judgment and give you that space to make your own decisions. The other important characteristic of the resilient person is self-compassion. They're able to forgive themselves for maybe going back to a bad habit or even an addiction. They realize that if they take two steps forward and one step backward, they're still making progress because their net movement is forward. So they're actually succeeding. So they're able to forgive themselves for small mistakes. Maybe they went back to excessive smoking or drinking or eating, not exercising temporarily, but they know they can get back on track. Or maybe they picked the wrong kind of abusive person. They realize I can move on to a better relationship. And also they're able to reinvigorate themselves by having self-care, maybe exercising, being in nature, having a spiritual practice, meditation, relaxation, things that can give them more energy and more power to do the things they need to do. The other thing that people who are resilient have, that people that can overcome obstacles, problems, or setbacks, is that they can find meaning in the problem. They can find meaning in the mistake or setback or so-called failure. For example, someone who went to a job interview and was unprepared and did a terrible job can ask themselves, why did that happen? Perhaps they had a self-sabotaging feeling. Maybe they didn't feel they deserved success in that particular job or to have a job like that. So they can realize that, go back and prepare for another job interview and realize that they deserve to have a job like that. So they can build their self-esteem, their competence, their confidence, and realize that they can move forward and have a better experience at another job interview and actually get the job they really want and they can do. The other thing that's interesting about resilient people is that they often look at the optimistic side of things. For example, instead of getting older or thinking they're getting old or older, they believe they're getting wiser. They did a study with men in their 70s and 80s. They put them in a hotel and they made all the decor 20 years earlier in time. And instead of asking them to think about your past or reminisce, they said to some of the men in the study, imagine that you're in a time machine and you've actually gone back 20 years. And the other men were basically told, just think about your past. Those men that actually believed they had gone back in time in a time machine walked stronger, stood up straighter, had less arthritis, they had more mental ability and capacity. And they were shown pictures of these men that believed they went back in time to some other individuals, and they said they actually look younger as a result. So their whole mindset has shifted. Instead of feeling old, they felt younger and more enthusiastic. Let's say that you have some barriers in life right now, those listening to Love University, our students. Maybe you're failing in your examinations in school, you're not doing well. Maybe in your job, your marriage, your relationships. Maybe you feel lonely, you're a single person, and you can't find the right person. Financially, you lose money or you don't know if you can make money. Or your career, you're in a dead-end career. How do you overcome barriers and obstacles to have the success and achieve your dreams? The first step is to recognize a non-success when it occurs, or a so-called failure. Maybe you didn't do well in that business or that relationship. It ended up in so-called failure. You ask yourself, what happened? Why? Was it something internally for me? Maybe I had a fear of success or fear of rejection. Maybe it was an outside circumstance. Somebody else got involved or something that I couldn't control. But I take responsibility for the things that I can control, for the ways I can relate to other people, for what I can learn, overcome perfectionism, procrastination. At the same time, ask yourself, what are the benefits of this so-called failure or non-success? Now, maybe your car broke down, your transmission went out, but it went out maybe in your house as opposed to on the freeway, which would have cost you more and possibly would have risked your life. So you can feel in some ways better as a result of that. There's a benefit that it happened when it happened. The other thing that's very important for people that suffer from setbacks or so-called failures is don't try to feel better immediately by rationalizing it. You might say, well, I didn't really want that job or that person in a relationship, or I didn't really have the ability to get that position or that business. I didn't have the knowledge or intelligence. So it's okay, it didn't work out. Or you could say, my friend distracted me from doing well on an exam because he took me out partying or socializing. So I blame it on my friend. Now, those things can make you feel temporarily better, but in the long run, the emotions can come back stronger and you feel more regret, more disappointment because you didn't really deal with it in the right way in terms of taking responsibility for things. The other thing that's very important for a person to have this power of resilience and overcoming obstacles and barriers is something called emotional granularity. Now, emotional granularity in psychology means to be able to be specifically able to pinpoint your feelings. What do you feel? I do a lot of work with clients who have been either traumatized or suffer from depression or anxiety. And I ask them, how do you feel emotionally? And they often say, well, I feel good or I feel bad. But then I tell them, good or bad is not a feeling, it's a state. So a feeling would be, I feel disappointed, frustrated, despondent, joyful, enthusiastic, excited. People who have good emotional granularity, who can specify their feelings, often can manage their emotions better, have better mental and physical health. They go to the doctor less, they use less medication, and they're able to have better social relationships. And the other thing is, once you pinpoint your emotion, what you're feeling after a setback, a problem, or a challenge, you can say, I'm going to use this emotion to propel me forward to something better. I'm feeling anger that my partner cheated on me. Well, I'm going to use that anger to find a reliable, loyal, faithful partner. Or sadness that I got rejected by someone I really loved. You might say, well, I'm going to take a break maybe from dating or from going out now. I'm going to use that to meditate and to heal myself and get to know myself. So it's very important that instead of allowing these negative emotions to hurt you and destroy you, use them as motivation, use them as a tool to propel you forward and become a better and happier person, to grow. Another thing that people that have resilience do that overcome obstacles is that they're able to summarize themselves and their life vision in a very clear and concise way. One exercise is that you can, for example, summarize your whole life right now in 6 words. For example, I would say, Dr. Avila, My life goal is to extend loving energy without expectation, which is actually 5 words. Now, Reggie, my producer, you've been listening to the show, and I know you're kind of a philosophical guy. Can you tell me a few words to describe your life, the way you would want it to live it?
I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Okay. Okay. That's not 7 words, but that's closer, George. That's not too bad. Okay. And what does that mean to you? That's an interesting phrase.
Well, funnily enough, it's a lyric from a song by Chumbawamba Tumthumpi. It's off in the 90s or whatever. And it's just, it just really speaks to me. Whenever you get knocked down, you get up again. You know, let things keep you down.
There you go. So you're a resilient guy, Reggie. That's kind of nice. So you have that kind of ability. And you can sing a little bit too, I can tell, right? Okay. So those are the important things to kind of find out, what is your life mission? Don't wait until you have it on your tombstone and then someone writes it for you, but you write it for yourself. So you create your own vision of what you want in life, and that vision propels you forward despite the obstacles and problems in life. So people want to be a great parent, a friend, do something creatively, artistically, scientifically, maybe start a great business to help people. Whatever it is that inspires you, motivates you, put that down in a phrase and look at that phrase every day. Put it on your mirror. Meditate upon it. Let it drive you to excellence despite obstacles and problems. Another thing that you want to do as part of your life vision is to take the long view. See your life as a perspective. Maybe you've had some setbacks in terms of finances and friendships and careers and other issues, but realize, how important is this going to be in 5 years if I'm making progress toward my goal? Now, Reggie, I think you've told me in the past you wanted to be a producer, a radio producer. What is your ultimate goal?
Well, yeah, something along those lines. You know, become a host, actually, you know, a host to do a show like
that. Okay, you don't take my job, right? But but in a good way, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Friendly competition.
Yes, of course. So then you want to be a host and produce a show, which is a wonderful goal. But maybe you've had some rejection, right? People may not believe in you, or you may, you know, make some so-called mistakes or setbacks, but you keep going forward because you see that great vision that you have. And part of that is focusing on things that inspire you. Maybe you will write or read about being a host or, you know, production. Maybe you watch YouTube channels, other things that can give you knowledge and wisdom. Take courses, talk to other people, find mentors in the field that can also inspire you and keep you going. The other thing that many times holds people back, once you've had a failure or an obstacle or setback, is something called fear. They fear they will fail again. I wanted that person, I wanted to have a relationship, and they didn't want me. I failed, or I failed in a marriage. I don't want to try it again, I'm afraid. Or in a business, I failed in the business, or I wanted to go back to school and I couldn't afford it. I have kids. So those fears keep people from doing what they really want. So one good reality testing check is to keep a fear to reality journal. This is something I talk about in my book, Invincible You, in which you write down your greatest fears. People will not like me, I will fail, I'm not smart enough. And then you see reality. What happens, you know, a week from today, a month, a year? How many of your fears have come true? Maybe it's a very small percentage in the way you thought they would come true. Maybe 80%, 90% do not come true that way. Maybe it's 100, even 99%. Most of the times, our so-called fears do not materialize in the way we thought they would. So we wasted all that emotional energy for nothing. That gives you confidence that you realize, I can go out and do what I want to do, and I'm going to take a risk and start something new in life, maybe move to a new location and start a business or a relationship, maybe a family. And I will do it because I know that fear is not going to stop me. I know that fear is not real 90% of the time. And finally, one of my favorite phrases, and of course I said this is what describes me, is to extend loving energy without expectation. Many times when we become fearful and we become regretful, we constrain our energy. In the Eastern philosophy, it's called ki or chi energy, the energy that we have. And you can either extend your energy, for example, ki energy or positive energy, when you smile at people, when you help other folks. We talked about one time shy people. For example, if you're shy, try to find the shyest person in the room to talk to, or the loneliest person, if you're lonely as well. So by giving love to other people, you reverse the whole process of constraining your energy or withdrawing it to extending it. And the more you give out, the more you receive back. So that's one of the most powerful lessons we can learn, is to often give to other people, whether it's a smile, a hello, listen to them attentively, even practical or material help, or even money if they need it. Whatever it is that people need, it changes your whole perspective, because instead of worrying about yourself and poor me and I don't have enough, you say, I have more than enough. I have the surplus. I have abundance. And I have the most powerful thing to give, which is love. And love always comes back in many ways. So anticipate, students, this week that you will go out and do not let obstacles and barriers stop you. Whatever it is, maybe a health setback or a financial, career, relationship, maybe even your own mindset, you start to doubt yourself. Say that I will overcome any obstacle I have. I can move mountains because I believe in my vision. I believe in my dream. It will help other people as well discover their dream and extend loving energy without expectation. And I will change the negative to a positive by looking at the optimistic side of life. Love University students, if you want to reach us, you can reach us at 310 226-8090. You can visit us at loveuniversity.love. Write to us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com. Also, like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. And follow us on Twitter at Love Letter U Podcast. So we want to build a community of Love University students, and we're doing this to a great extent. Our numbers have gone up exceedingly. We're going to do more live presentations. In fact, we talked about this, Reggie, to actually do a weekly live show once we find the right venue. And we really want to connect with people and help people connect with each other, because we said one of our biggest missions in 2020 is to help eradicate loneliness. Loneliness, disconnection from yourself, others, and a higher nature. So Love University students, until next time, put away your notepads, your iPads, your books, your pens, and we'll see you next time. Dr. Alex Avila, it's Love University.